You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant, biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Happy Sunday to you, Houston's First. We are in downtown Houston, and I got my good buddy, our campus pastor here, Leon Brooks, our downtown campus. And Leon, tell us kind of what's happening downtown.
Yeah, thank you, Pastor Greg. I know you've heard a lot of different things, broken windows, buildings, and everything like that. But God is still at work, and we are here at the downtown campus, and we're just excited about what the Lord is doing.
Oh, man, for sure. It's happening downtown. We're filming, getting this ready, which is amazing, and then we're going to have church downtown live, which will be great. Sienna is meeting live in the Loop campus. We did not have enough electricity to get us up and running. Cypress campus, same thing. So Cypress, downtown. We're here in downtown Cypress and Loop. I want to welcome you, our digital family as well, which is great. And let me just tell you a little vision of the day. We got here Chris Coley, who does a great job of leading us in our Loop campus as well. And we got here Kike, and Kike is in charge of our Spanish ministry. And so today is Bible Translation Day. We had all these things planned. It's going to be amazing. Still, it's going to be amazing. But we're going to sing a little bit today in worship in Spanish and in English to get our hearts ready to learn about the thousands of language groups there are, people groups in different languages, and we have gotten to be a part of something really special. So you're going to be excited about that for just in just a few minutes from now. But we're excited. Welcome. I don't know if your home's a mess. I don't know if your home's great, but welcome. Let's just settle in and let's worship the Lord together and let Him do His work.
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never through generations. So why would He fail now? He won't. We believe He won't fail. Yes, I've still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. Yes. So why would He fail? We know this is true. Jesus won't fail. He won't fail. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would He fail now? He won't fail. He won't fail. Prayer box, cansada me derrumbo en ti estoy seguro yo firme camino hoy pruebas vinieron cansada me derrumbo en ti estoy seguro yo firme camino hoy. Pruebas vinieron, pesada me derrumbó. En ti estoy seguro, yo firme camino hoy.
Yes, I'm gonna make it through. I'm standing strong on you, on the solid rock. I'm gonna make it through, 'cause my house is built on you. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand, when everything around me is shaking. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't. He won't fail.
Sing this great hymn, Christ the solid rock I stand. And on Christ the solid rock I stand. The ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. And on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Yes, Jesus, we know that's true. Today and every day, we sing of your goodness, of your faithfulness.
Te adoramos hoy, Señor Jesús. Cantamos de tu bondad y de tu misericordia, como nos has envuelto, y a través de las tormentas tú eres fiel. Y hoy declaramos que tú eres nuestro amor y te amamos a ti, Jesús.
Te amo, Dios. Tu amor nunca me falla. Mi existir en tus manos está. Hasta el momento en que despierto y hasta el anochecer, yo cantaré de la bondad de Dios. En mi vida ha sido bueno. En mi vida ha sido tan bien. Con mi ser, con cada aliento, yo cantaré de la bondad de Dios.
And I love your voice. And you have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you
as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am taking, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes, Lord, today we just declare that, that with every breath, in every season, in the highs and the lows, you never change. Your goodness, your mercy, they are running after us, and we thank you for that. Your faithfulness, your kindness, Lord, it never ends. And so we're grateful people. Lord, we pray even in the midst of just the craziness today, Lord, not even being able to gather. Lord, we pray that you would just teach us something about you, that you would remind us of your truth, that you'd remind us of the greatness of our God. So be praised today. We receive this worship, Lord. We're going to keep just praising you with our lives. And we pray that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. It's so great for us to be together. It's so amazing to have this technology that we can get together and have Kike leading us in worship from our Spanish ministry. It's incredible. And Chris at our Loop campus. And so we just want to say to the digital family, those of y'all that watch online all the time, welcome to Siena. Welcome to Cyprus. Welcome the Loop. Downtown is all meeting together. It's been a great thing. So Siena's going live, which is great. Downtown is live. And then on this Sunday morning, it's us digital family with the Loop campus. We couldn't open. We didn't have enough power. Cyprus campus, we didn't have enough power either. And so welcome to this moment. I'm excited. We're in the downtown campus right now, which is great to be able to film here because we got plenty of power in downtown, which is great. And so this is Bible Translation Sunday. We've been gearing towards it for a long, long time, getting ready for it. A little different than we thought it would be. But I want to just give you a mindset, a little bit of a thought of what we're getting into today of Bible translation. I'm going to interview in just a moment the CEO of the Seed Company, and they are great friends of ours. And so I want you to watch this short video to get your mind around Bible translation, and then we'll jump in for an interview for a few moments. Then I'll share a thought with you from the scriptures as well, preach a little sermon, and then we'll be on our way, and it'll just be a great time. So welcome, and let's watch this video together.
from the beginning of time until the end of time. None will escape instability, strife, fear, and insecurity. And in the midst of a dark and sinful world, we are in desperate need of the truth. The truth that we are loved, that we are redeemed, that we have a God that is true to his promises. The truth that surpasses time, place, and all understanding. Yet, the truth of Scripture isn't available for everyone. There are over 1 billion people who do not have the full Bible in their heart language. Seed Company is working to change this. Community efforts, local translators, and partnerships with other Bible translation groups around the globe, we are accelerating the spread of Bible translation at a pace set to make church history. But we can't share the truth of Scripture on our own. Join us as we strive to have God's Word available for everyone in our lifetime. This truth must be heard, and it's one we must share.
Man, what a great video. I am so excited, church, to have with us here Davis Powell. He's a good friend, the CEO of the Seed Company. And he's here to share with us some things about Bible translation, because that's something that's a big part of our church's heart. And you'll hear a little bit more about that. And so we are so excited about having you. And it's just amazing time. We've got representatives of the Seed Company at all different campuses, which is great to have this time together. But we get to have you, the CEO.
Hey, I'm honored to be here. I'm so honored to be here. And Pastor Greg, thank you so much for your partnership. And I hope that you know Houston's First as a body, that you impact this community, yes, absolutely. You impact this city, yes, absolutely. But your fingerprints go to the nations. Mm. And Seed Company's vision is God's Word transforming lives in every language in this generation. We want to see every single person have access to God's Word in their language.
Yes.
And for nearly 20 years, Houston's First has been a part of that.
Wow.
So thank you so much.
Well, we love it. And I tell you, Bible translation is such an amazing thing. You know, it's something we don't always think about.
Yeah.
A few years ago, I got to speak to the Bible translators in Galveston, Texas, just about 60 miles from here, down south, most beautiful beach in the world.
Hey, that's right why we there. Gathered there.
There you go. You know? It was great. I'm sure y'all came for the beautiful beach, not the cheaper rates than going to Florida, I'm
sure. That's right.
But I spoke to the Bible translators, and I just felt like I was speaking to, like, heroes of the faith. Mm. I mean, it was just so amazing to think these people are translating the Bible to send it out. And I took the message so seriously. I always do. But I was like, okay, Lord, you're using me to speak to them, for them to do this Bible translating, which is just amazing. So why is Bible translation even necessary? Tell us what it is and why it's necessary.
Yeah, that's great. And just a reminder for all of us, there are over 7,000 living languages in the world, and that doesn't include dialects. So just to frame some context for a moment, but just starting with the Scripture in our heart language, right? And I think about the last 48 hours here in Houston, and so many times when storms hit our life, literally and figuratively, we get shaken a bit, and it really determines, hey, what's our foundation? And so I think about the two of us and everyone tuning in, that we have Scripture in our heart language, in the language that we dream in. But for nearly 1,200 languages around the world, they have zero Scripture. And so just take a minute, think about that. What's a verse that comes to mind that has been with you in the highest of times in your life and the lowest of times? And I can flip through Scripture, as I'm sure you can, here in my heart language in English, and over again see that. But we also know that that's not the end of the story, because Revelation 7:9 tells us that all nations and all peoples and all languages are going to be before the throne. And even as we worshiped a moment ago, it's hard for me not to get choked up a little bit because we had English and Spanish, two of the 7,000. Yes. But one day we are going to all be before the throne. And so why Bible translation? Because we know the Word of God is living and active, and we want every single person around the world, just as you do, yes, to encounter the Lord through His Word.
That's amazing. Well, it is strategic that we would sing in two languages and then talk about thousands of languages.
Yeah.
And then talk about really one language that is we've been a part of as a church, the Dorada people group. We helped to support this Bible translation to the Dorada people group that Davis will tell you a little bit more about in just a second. That was a part of Kainos that we did as our huge Kainos initiative. And church, I want you to know, the first check that we wrote out of all of Kainos was for Bible translation. That was symbolic. We wanted to say the first thing we want to do, not build a building for us, not do something, you know, for even our own city, but we want to go the Word of God out to the world. So tell us more about the Dorada people group that we helped through Kainos, because we don't know about them.
Yeah.
And you do, and we asked you, and you said, this is one we should help. So tell us about that people group.
Yeah, and it's a privilege to just speak on behalf of them today, right? And just to celebrate off the bat, we can celebrate that because of Houston's First, they are not a part of the 1,200 languages without a single verse of Scripture. And so the Dorada community, language community, is in Southwest Asia. There's right around 400,000 speakers, and Dorada is a pseudonym. So it's not the real language name. So if you were to Google Dorada, you're going to come up a little empty-handed, but we have to do that for security purposes. And the country that they're in is primarily Muslim, but actually the Dorada people practice Hinduism. And so they are already very marginalized in their country due to that. And so think about getting denied at restaurants, thinking about children not having proper education, thinking about getting pushed out from jobs. And so you can only imagine that those who put their lives on the line for translation, it goes from marginalization to persecution very quickly. And so that is who our brothers and sisters are, that you have helped carry the Word of God to this language.
That's amazing. And yeah, so their Hinduism is really a very different thing than the culture they're
that's
around.
That's right.
And that
yeah,
makes a big difference.
It does. Wow. It does. And with Hinduism, you know, it's said that there's around 330 million gods within Hinduism, and that number is changing because of all the different ancestors and gods that individuals who are practicing Hinduism and the Dorada people are continually trying to appease. And so imagine that, just the fear that they're constantly living in. But one of my favorite stories, actually, was from a Hindu leader that was telling people within one Dorada community to stay away from Bible studies, stay away from moments where the Word of God was going to be spoken. And even with that, the translation team and others continued to lean in, and they said, well, we're going to keep going. We're going to continue to put our lives on the line and talk about the Word of God and speak the Word of God and see what happens in the community. And even though this Hindu leader was telling everyone to not go, as the Lord does, people went. But there's a lot of tension present. But after a couple meetings, the tension started to subside. And the question was, well, why is the tension subsiding? And what came to be known was that this Hindu leader actually came to know the Lord.
Wow.
And accepted the Lord as his Lord and Savior.
That is awesome.
And not only that, but at Easter a few weeks ago in the Dorada community, shared his story about coming to the Lord and was saying, this book is alive.
That is amazing.
And so that's what one little story of what's happened in the Dorada community.
We love it. That is so great. Well, we are so glad to be a part of it. I think you got something for us.
I do.
Too.
I do.
I've been real excited about it. I have not touched this yet. I'm so excited about this. Tell us what.
So this is the Dorada New Testament. This was dedicated in country at the end of last year. And so imagine right now across the world as the Dorada community is in the midst of their afternoons, they've got this word.
Wow.
And so this is not Davis presenting it to you. This is not C Company presenting this to you. This is the Dorada community saying thank you for being
a
part of
this. Awesome. So good. Well, if I have it upside down, I just figured out
that's right.
I'm going the wrong
way.
That's right. That is awesome. Well, church, if I could find Titus in this, I would preach it to you in just a second. But this is amazing, and I love that our church was a part of really taking the New Testament over the finish line.
That's right.
And to get this finished and get this done. So right here, church, we were a part from Kainos of the New Testament going to the Dorada people. For the first time in the history of the world, we can be
yeah,
even that dramatic.
Absolutely. Praise God. Yeah.
This is going out, and they've got this in their heart language, just like we have our scriptures in our heart language. So,
that's right.
Thank
and
you.
This is a scripture that is legacy, right? Mm-hmm. We know that the souls of men and the word of God last forever. And so the children of the Dorada are going to be the first generation to grow up knowing the Lord in their
Love
language.
It. That is so good. Well, church. Hey, through the Lord, we got to be a part of this, which is great. And so, Davis, we're so proud of you. We're so proud of the Seed Company. We're honored to work with you. I hope you consider our church one of your strongest partners and
Absolutely.
Biggest cheerleaders and
Absolutely.
Praying for you. We are a praying church. We're a Bible church. We love missions at our church. And that all comes together right here. So we're going to pray for the Dorada people and in this word here. And I'm going to pray first. And then Davis is going to pray as well. And then we're going to jump in and we're going to look in Titus chapter 2. But I'm going to use my English Bible. I'm not quite ready to do the Dorada
Bible
yet.
That's your heart language.
My
heart language.
That's right. That's symbolic right there. So let's pray. And why don't you just put a hand on that and I'll put a hand on that. And we're going to pray together. So church, you pray as well. Father, we just come and we thank you, Lord, for the Dorada people, Lord. We thank you, God, that they, on this Sunday, they're going to gather for worship. And just as we're going to bring our Bibles to church or here online, they're going to bring their Bibles. And they got a Bible now. They got a New Testament now. And so we thank you, God, that you are amazing and you are great. And so we just trust you. We love you. And we ask, God, that you would use this in an amazing, amazing way. Do your work, God, in a powerful way. We thank you for the Seed Company. We thank you for Davis and all the people he represents, all the translators, all the staff. And we pray blessings upon them. And we lift this up in Jesus' name.
Mm. And Father, we just continue to pray for the Dorada people right now, Lord, for in the midst of their afternoons and what's happening in that country, Father, that you know. And we know that each of the 400,000 speakers of Dorada, you not only know their names, you know every hair on their head. And so, Father, we pray that right now you'd meet them where they are, that your peace that surpasses all understanding would guard their hearts in their minds, and that your word that we know does not return void, Father, would go swiftly to that community and that nation. Thank you for Houston's First. Thank you for Pastor Greg. Thank you for the ways that you are using them around the word. Father, thank you for this church. I pray for your favor over it. I pray for all those who are dealing with so much in these last few days, God, that again, your peace would be so present and evident. We give you all the glory. This is not about Seed Company or Houston's First. This is about your name, Jesus. We give all the glory to you. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you, Davis.
Thank
so
you
much.
So much.
So much.
Absolutely.
So I get a little cheered home for Davis as he's heading out, which is great. And we've got right here the Dorada People Group Bible, which is awesome. I want you to turn in your Bible to Titus chapter 2 is where we're going to be. Titus chapter 2. We've been cruising along in Titus, and I did not think that I would be at the downtown campus this morning getting this going for you to see this morning. It's going to be great for us to be in God's Word together. So this is a scripture that we've had planned for a long time for Bible Translation Day, and I want to give you a couple words, but this is the storm version, if you will, a little bit different of what we have here. What a week it has been. Amazing. We got home on Thursday. I got home from church. I thought everything was great. We're going to maybe eat a little food. And then like a hurricane rolled in and nobody told us about this. I guess I should have been paying more attention, but here came this hurricane and it wasn't a hurricane, but you know what it was like with all the storm, it felt like a hurricane. And so what a week. I want to give us some encouragement from Titus chapter 2. I hope you've been doing your Titus journal. We're going to turn those in June 9th. So bring that to whatever campus you go to, and we will have the Titus Journal turned in on June 9th. But let's jump into Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 is where we're going to start. And so digital family, and if you're with our Cypress campus or our Loop campus that can't meet today, then you listen up as well, as we're excited about downtown campus in a bit. Going to be able to meet, and then also our Siena campus meeting. But here's what it says, verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and worldly lusts and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in the present age. The first thing I want you to know is this. Jesus comes at the right time for the right reason. Jesus comes at the right time for the right reason. So here we see in this passage of Scripture, it says that he appeared, for the grace of God has appeared. I want you to think about that like Christmas. What that Greek word means, it's the appearing of something that's always existed. So like when the sun appears in the morning, you don't go, oh, wow, the sun's been invented. The sun is appearing in the morning, but it's already existed. It's always been there. It's just coming back around the earth. So Jesus, the grace of God, has always been there. And he appears, if you will, at Christmas. He comes, God's Son, comes to planet Earth, and he comes at the right time, and he comes at the right for the right reason. It says, for grace leading to salvation. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. That's an amazing thought. So Jesus shows up on the scene so that he can bring salvation to all people. Now, we've seen the all people at the beginning of this chapter. The all people at the beginning of this chapter, we talked about last week, old men, young men, old ladies, young ladies. We've got then further on, you get further along, and it talks about the servants, the slaves, that even the lowest place of the societal rung of the vocations, and that's different. When we think of slavery as Americans, we're thinking about 1800s. This is different. I'm not saying it was good, but I'm just saying it was different, that everybody was a part of the family of God. Remember we talked about last week that it's not an event. Church is not an event. Church is a family. And so to have that family of God, all people coming together, says that Jesus Christ has come for all people to deny the bad and to live the good. To deny the bad and live the good. So when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're trusting his grace, and then you're stepping into the good, denying the bad. That's what the next part of that verse is talking about this. And then it says, in this present age. So for the grace of God has appeared, salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness and then to live in righteousness. And that's for this present age. Now, this present age is fallen. It's difficult. It's frustrating. It's discouraging. Now, we should know here in this present age is a challenge because of what we've just faced. Now, there's some that are watching right now, and there's really been no problem at your home, and that is awesome. That is great. There's others that have, there has been problem at your home, and that's been a challenge. That's where our family has been. Here's what happened at the Mott home. We at the Mott home were able to see, let me show you a couple pictures here. We'll go back one. That is two trees laying on our house, what has taken place in our home in the last hours, last days. Now, notice there's also the chimney. Now, let me show you a closer view of the chimney. That's the tree knocking. This is from our second floor story window. The chimney being knocked over. So Santa Claus is not coming this year down our chimney. It's not what's happening here, okay? So we've got the chimney knocked over. We got two trees on our roof. Here's the way it went down. Kelly and I were sitting on the couch, and we were in the middle of the house because we knew these big pine trees, they may be coming down, and we heard a crack, and then it went down, and we heard wham, and it happened right there, landed right there. That's about 20 feet away from where our bed is in our master bedroom. Then water started coming through the master bathroom onto the floor. We had buckets. Water was pooling on the ground. All of these things taking place. Now, I want you to know this, though. We are taken care of. We don't need any meals. We don't need any help. Everything is professional at this point, okay? I didn't want, you know, five church members with chainsaws on my roof getting after it, you know, in the midst of a rainstorm. So we've got a professional crew that's been doing it, that's taking care of it. So we're just fine. So don't worry about us. We're fine. But I tell you this for this reason. This present age is a difficult age. I did not plan earlier this week to be speaking to you online, and I did not plan earlier this week to have people at my house doing, you know, all this demolition cleanup, and then it's going to be the rebuild, right? So we're just at the beginning of the hassle factor of this whole thing. But my wife said something when we were praying about it. We were praying as we have been, and we've been praying for other people as well, and our neighborhood got hit really hard, so we're not the only one with a tree through our house. And so we were praying, and this is what Kelly prayed, and I thought this was so good. Here's what she said. I wrote it down so I'd get it right. The roots of our faith are deeper than the roots of our trees. The roots of our faith are deeper than the roots of our trees. So we've got to trust that God's got us held. So those trees, those roots didn't hold, it came down. Hey, as believers, we're not going down in the storm. We're walking with God. We're going to walk in trust with God. So Jesus comes at the right time for the right reason. And I remember when those guys showed up with chainsaws, it was like the grace of the Lord showing up. It was awesome to see them appearing in our backyard with chainsaws, a bobcat, doing all sorts of things to get that chimney down. Those trees are down. We're in a good place again. The second thing I want you to see here as we're moving along in verse 13 is while we wait, verse 13, while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's what I want you to hear. Wait on the light. It's worth it. Wait on the light. It's worth it. Here he says, I want you to wait for the blessed hope and for the appearing, there's that word again, of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the second coming. That's Jesus returning. Wait on the light. It's worth it. Some of you might not have electricity right now. Wait on the light. It's coming. We don't have electricity right now. So wait on it. There's a family in our church. They just got electricity. I love what the dad, what he said that his daughter said. She ran into the room and she said, "Daddy, Daddy, the lights are on." So if you don't have power right now, electricity, and you're looking at your phone or generators running this or whatever it is, hey, when the lights come on, here's what's going to happen. Your whole neighborhood's going to go, "Yeah, awesome, the lights are back on." Think about how much more celebration there will be. Not when the lights come on, but when the light of the world returns. When the light of the world returns, that's going to be a celebration. And in this fallen and dark world, he says, look, I want you to wait on the blessed hope, on the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about the Dorada people getting the light of the Word of God. How cool is that? The celebration, I've seen some videos of the celebration of the people celebrating receiving this word. It was amazing, absolutely amazing. So don't forget, God is at work in your waiting. I love the song where it says, if you're not done working, I'm not done waiting. So God is at work in our waiting. That is an amazing thing to celebrate that. So wait on the light, it's worth it. Last couple verses of scripture, and then we're done. You ready? Here we go. Verse 14. And he gave himself for us. Why? To redeem us from all the lawlessness and to cleanse us for himself. Now, I love this phrase. Don't miss this phrase. A people for his own possession, eager to do good works. So he said, gave himself for us to redeem us, to save us, to cleanse us, to wash us clean, so that we could be a people for his own possession. We belong to him. He belongs to us. He lives in us. We live in him. He's got a hold of us. We got a hold of him. People for his own possession, eager, this is what we should be, eager to do good works. Verse 15, proclaim these things. Encourage, rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Here's the point. The world's generator, I've been thinking about generators lately, the world's generator is nothing to be compared to the power of eternity's God. The world's generator is nothing to be compared to eternity's God. Hey, the church may be without electricity right now. That's why we're meeting here and filming this right now, because we don't have enough electricity at the Loop. We don't have enough electricity at Cypress. You maybe don't have electricity in your home. But I want you to hear this very clearly. The church may be without electricity, but the church is never without power. The church is never without power. Pentecost Sunday, church power is what's taking place. God has power. So don't trust in the world's generator. Trust in the eternal God and his power. My house is a wreck right now. So I've been juggling, trying to keep the Lord's house going and my house going. But the power of God is what we trust in. And he says there, hey, he's going to redeem you. He's going to take you. He's going to cleanse you. And he wants us to proclaim that, because we're a people for his own possession. So let's put this whole thing together. Jesus comes at the right time, in the right moment, with the right thing, and that's grace. And boy, don't we need it. At the right time, he comes, and we could trust him as Savior and walk in that grace. And then we wait for the second coming, that the light's going to come again. And God's going to take this fallen world over, and he's going to take care of it, and it's going to be amazing. And then finally, we are in the power of God, his own possession, for his power, so we can walk in that power and walk in that strength. Let me just tell you this. Revelation 21, verse 23 is what I've been thinking about lately. I want you to hear this verse. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. Can you get this in your mind? The new heaven and the new earth, there's not going to be a need for a sun or a moon. Jesus and the glory of God is going to light the place up. And so right here in downtown, with a lot of broken windows falling out of buildings happen. House that doesn't have electricity, tree through my house, we're fine. I want you to know that. Don't worry about us. Pray for us, but don't worry about us. There will be a day that the power of God and the glory of God will light up this world. And guess who's going to be with us? We're going to meet some Dorada people. And they're going to say, oh, man, wow, thank you for that word of God. Houston, you keep trusting. I'm going to keep trusting. Let's keep walking with God. And God's going to do his work in an amazing, amazing way. Would you pray with me as we wrap up our time together? We'll be back together next week. Normal schedule, normal everything, God willing. But this moment, this time, let's go for it with the Lord in prayer. And you stay strong, and I'll stay strong. And if you don't have a leaf out of place, that's cool too. No problem. You just keep walking with God. Father, we come in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. You're good. You're mighty. You're great. And we trust you, God, that you are able to do great things in us and through us. We want you to move. Lord, for folks that are in the situation that Team Mott is in, trees on their house, busted up stuff, no electricity, may we trust in the power of God, and may you just bring miracles and favor and take care of the insurance and take care of this, that, and the other. We pray for that, God. For those that, thankfully, Lord, just no problems. We give you thanks, Lord. We give you grace. Or we thank you for your grace. But Father, we thank you for our church. Our church is without electricity in 2 out of 4 campuses, but we are never without power. The roots of our faith are deeper than the roots of our trees. And we walk with you, God. And we pray for the Dorada people. We celebrate and we trust you. Do your work in us and through us. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. Hey, thanks for joining us. Such a great thing, such a blessing. We'll be praying for you this week. You be praying for us. And we're going to jump back in next Sunday. Normal stuff. But man, God bless you and have a great, great week.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us at one of our 4 locations, at The Loop, Cypress, Downtown, or Siena. Follow us on social media or visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.